So there are receptors, in addition to estrogen receptors, that have helped in that thinking. If I were listening and I wanted to understand these different receptors, all of that have funny names that distinguish one kind of breast cancer from the other, let's walk through those different word choices, what they really mean to a patient who's listening to their physician tell them they are estrogen receptor positive or other receptor positives. Help me with all of that.
Yeah. So when we categorize breast cancers, we do it on the basis of the clinical extent of the cancer, which is an old-fashioned way, you know, stages 1, 2, 3, and 4, which
is... Well, what does that mean? So
that means is how big is the cancer and where is it spread to? Stage 1, for example, are very small tumors that haven't left the breast. They're really encased within the breast tissue itself. They're not in local lymph nodes and they aren't in any other organs. Stages 2 and 3 are a little bit bigger or they have started to spread locally. And stage 4 is cancer that has spread into distant organs. You know, we think of stages 1, 2, and 3 as being curable. Stage 4 as being controllable but not curable. So that nomenclature and the old sort of looking at cancer, including breast cancer, as an anatomic disease still exists and is still important. What's been added to that is sort of factors that represent the biology of the cancer. And the old-fashioned ones were the estrogen and the progesterone receptors, which basically give you a sense of whether the cancer is sensitive or not sensitive to the hormones that circulate in women's bodies. So to this anatomic categorization scheme, now we have factors that represent the biology of the breast cancer. And there are old-fashioned ones, the estrogen receptor and the progesterone receptor, which give us a sense of the hormonal sensitivity of the cancer. Those have been tested for years and years, although the testing techniques have gotten better recently compared to what they did in the olden days. There's another test that we use right now, and that's for a protein called HER2. HER2 is a gene. It creates a more aggressive kind of breast cancer when it's turned on. In about 20% of breast cancers, it's basically turned off and it's not regulated the way normal, you know, genes are managed. Essentially, the cancer cell no longer can regulate its own growth. In those breast cancers, the cancer tends to be much faster growing and we can test for it. It's also important because we have drugs against it. So we have, just as we have anti-estrogens, now we have anti-HER2 drugs. So those are the three factors that we test for now, in part because they give us a hint about biology and also because we have drugs against these particular factors.
So estrogen, progesterone, and HER2.
Correct.
If you have any of those receptor markers, it helps you identify prognosis and also helps you identify treatment options.
Absolutely. We treat them differently.
So if somebody's triple negative, the word choice, mm-hmm. triple negative, that implies that all three of those receptors are not expressed or available in the tumor.
That's right. It means that they're negative for all three of them, which means that we have chemotherapy to offer, but we don't have any of the targeted therapies at this time, although this is an area of very active research. Now, it is important to note, and this is something that I think sometimes gets missed because the internet is full of stories about triple negative and how it's an aggressive and has fewer treatment options. The truth is that many triple negatives, if not most, are actually still curable, just we don't have targeted therapies.
When you use the word curable, what does that mean? Cure for the rest of the person's life? They don't need screening or follow-up? What's the breast cancer definition of cure?
The breast cancer definition of cure is that you live a long and healthy life and you die of something else with no evidence of your cancer coming back once you finish the sort of initial round of treatments.
That's just a remarkable statement to be able to make.
Oh, yeah. Well, years ago when, you know, my grandmother died of breast cancer, and in the 60s and into the early 70s, more than half of women who were diagnosed with breast cancer died of it. And that number's now 20% or a little less.
And it's against this progress, then, that you can overlay the genetic studies that people like Chuck Peru have been doing. And hopefully that's going to lead to further refinements in our thinking about these diseases.
You know, it already has. You know, so among the things that have come out within the last 10 years are really kind of applying these genetic tests to existing cancers and trying to get additional information beyond ER, PR, and HER2. So, for example, the molecular subtypes of breast cancer that Chuck first discovered, those particular subtypes have been now turned into a genetic test that you can use to help gauge within hormone receptor positive breast cancer whether a cancer is more or less likely to do well with just anti-estrogen therapy. And there's actually several commercial tests that do exactly that. They help us decide who needs chemo and who can just get an anti-estrogen pill for 5 or 10 years and not have to have additional therapy. That kind of application of these genetic tests is where, you know, we want the whole field to go.